Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Hello, friend. Welcome back to Foul Play and our series, Casey Anthony, Truth or Lies. This is episode 4, Crocodile Tears. In our previous episodes, we have introduced you to our co-host for the season, Rob Dick, and have given you a timeline of what happened up to the point that Casey was arrested. If you haven't already listened to the first 3 episodes of the season, I'd recommend that you do so.
With Casey in jail, the police investigation continued. Kaylee was missing, and the only leads that law enforcement have are the car and the nanny. The court transcript says, quote, "There were tips and phone calls and sightings of Kaylee Anthony all across the country, on airplanes, in gas stations, all over the place. Tips that were followed by members of the Orange County Sheriff's Office, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, local police agencies in different states, no Casey Anthony, and no Zenaida Gonzalez. That night, the 16th of July 2008, with the permission of George and Cindy Anthony, the Orange County Sheriff's Office seized Casey Anthony's white Pontiac Sunfire. And you will hear testimony from crime scene technicians and ultimately individuals who evaluated and analysed evidence taken from that trunk during the course of this trial. You'll also hear that the trash bag that Simon Birch had thrown out of the car the day before, when George Anthony picked up the Sunfire at Johnson's Wrecker, was located in the dumpster. When George Anthony went with a missing persons civilian investigator to find it, was there something in that garbage that would help the Orange County Sheriff's Office find his granddaughter? George Anthony wanted to know. On Thursday, July the 17th, the Orange County Sheriff's Office had one of their cadaver dogs, which you will hear during the course of this trial is a dog that is specifically trained in detecting the scent of human remains, do a sweep around the car. Deputy Jason Forgy, who has many years of experience in handling police canines and who was working with the dog Jiros prior to Giras's recent retirement, the recording cuts out here, period of time, took the dog around the car, at which point Giras alerted, gave a trained final alert, which will be explained to you, on the trunk of the car as having the odour of human remains. Later that day, Giras was taken to the Anthony residence, where again George and Cindy Anthony had given permission to members of the Orange County Sheriff's Office to look in their yard to see if there was any evidence that would help them learn what happened to Kaylee. Where was Kaylee? And again in the backyard near Kaylee's playhouse, Giras alerted to the odour of human decomposition. Deputy Forgy had asked that another canine handler, this one from Escuela County Sheriff's Office, Kristen Brewer. Sergeant Brewer brought her own canine cadaver dog to the Anthony home, and her cadaver dog also alerted to the odour of human decomposition in the playhouse in the Anthony's backyard. Now you will hear that crime scene technicians dug up in the areas where the dogs alerted did not find Kaylee. Evidence from the car was also preserved. Hair, air samples, samples from the carpet lining of the trunk, samples from the spare tire cover were cut and collected in tin cans by members of the Orange County Sheriff's Office. Samples of Casey Anthony's DNA, Lee Anthony's DNA, Cindy and George Anthony's DNA, and a hairbrush that was used by Kaylee Anthony to get a sample of her DNA was obtained. The hair and other debris collected from Casey Anthony's Pontiac Sunfire was sent to the Federal Bureau Investigations Laboratory in Quantico, Virginia, and you will hear that the evidence and testimony in this case establishes that forensic science has discovered that there is a distinctive band of discoloration that occurs at the root end of a hair under very specific and unique circumstances. According to these studies, you will hear this artifact occurs only and has only been seen in hairs taken from decomposing human bodies. Of the many hairs that were found in the trunk of the Sunfire, one hair exhibited the classic characteristics I just described. This supports the prior investigative findings, not only as it relates to the alerts by the trained cadaver dogs, but also the ability of those people who have smelled a dead body before to know what it is. These findings led to the inescapable conclusion that, in fact, a dead body had been in the trunk of Casey Anthony's car. End quote.
On the 22nd of July, 2008, a judge sets bail of $500,000 at a bond hearing, as despite the charges Casey was arrested for being relatively minor, the subsequent evidence and Casey's demeanor have concerned the judge. Her lawyer, Baez, tried to get the amount reduced, but to no avail. Rob tells us about this.
Well, she met Baez through somebody in jail, actually only being in custody the first couple of days. So she already had Baez at that point. He actually had to facilitate the bond hearing because the bond was a high bond for that charge. And he wanted to see if he could get it lowered, obviously, and try to get her out. Any attorney would rather have their client out so that they can meet in their office instead of a jail cell. Even though there's attorney-client privilege, it's just better to be in your own office than inside the jail.
Of course, $500,000 is a huge bail. We asked Rob to explain how bail works.
If they're bailing out a loved one, that loved one comes and brings that 10%, and that's the fee that the bail agent makes. So, can't really use it for this example, but let's say it was $500,000 bond, and let's say George and Cindy were putting up the $50,000. So they would come pay a bail agent $50,000. The bail agent would make that $50,000. However, the $500,000 liability is there for both of them. The bail agent and the cosigner, or in that case, parents. So if she flees, that's when the bail agent would then hire a bounty hunter to go get them and bring them back. But if they were to flee and get away and not be found, then yes, the bail agent and whoever signed, the parents, I guess, would have to pay $500,000.
So the bail bondsman, as well as the family, are taking a huge risk when posting bail. And that's why it took nearly a month to find someone who was willing to post bail for Casey Anthony. And the bail bondsman who decided to take that risk, Rob's boss, Leonard Padilla.
Kaylee had gone missing. The besieged Anthony's got a boost from an unlikely source. A black-hatted, black-dudded bounty hunter from out west named Leonard Padilla.
I'm no doubt the best bounty hunter in the world, without a question.
We did briefly introduce Leonard back in episode 1. And for longtime listeners, you will also know his name from season 3, The Maps. But just to recap, Leonard was a bail bondsman and bounty hunter from Northern California who loved the limelight and was known for his signature black cowboy hat and no-nonsense attitude. And you might be wondering how Casey had coped being in jail for the last month. Well, you don't need to. While her parents remained distraught that there was no new information on their missing granddaughter, Kaylee, Casey was just feeling sorry for herself. Here is the audio of a call between Casey and her parents on the 14th of August, 2008. You can also watch the video online. It shows a split screen with George and Cindy on one side and Casey on the other. George has short gray hair and is wearing a white t-shirt with a large butterfly on the front. There is some writing above it, which is unreadable. He has his left arm around Cindy, who has short, cropped blonde hair, and is also wearing a white t-shirt. They look like they are in a call center, as there are rows of computer cubicles behind them. On the right, Casey is set in front of a white curtain. She is wearing a dark, short-sleeved top, which I assume is a prison outfit.
Well, let me have you speak to Mom, okay? No, she's right here. She's pulling at the phone. Hold on.
All right. I'm sweetie. Hi, Mom. We're not doing well, Case. None of us. Lee's been sick. Dad's blown up at the media.
Yeah, I heard.
Well, someone just said that Kaylee was dead this morning, that she drowned in the pool. That's the newest story out there.
Surprise, surprise.
We need to have something to go on.
Mom, I don't have anything. I'm sorry. I've been here a month today. Do you understand how I feel?
Hold on, sweetheart. Settle down, baby.
Nobody's letting me speak. You want me to talk? Then...
All right, I'll listen to you.
Give me 3 seconds to see
go,
something.
Sweetheart.
I'm not in control over any of this because I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what's going on. My entire life has been taken from me. Everything has been taken from me. You don't understand. Everybody wants me to have answers. I don't have any answers because I don't know what's going on. I have no one to talk to except Jose when he comes. It's the only person that I can talk to right now because I can't even say anything to you guys besides telling you that I love you. I want Kaylee. Things like that. And that's not even getting put on the air, which it should be. It's everything else. Everything that I'm not saying. Again, that's all I could do was backtrack. I can't backtrack on anything. A month I've been removed from the situation. You guys are not understanding my side on this, and I'm sorry.
On the 20th of August 2008, Leonard posted bond for Casey Anthony. Rob was an integral part of Leonard's team and tells us about the lead up to that happening.
So that was kind of a process where they had to have the hearing, and that was going on, and then Leonard had come up with the idea that maybe we should bail her out and see what happens, see if she says she'll find her or lead people to her if she was out. So again, just kind of put up or shut up, and let's just see what happens. I believe he contacted Baez first. Baez had said, yeah, he doesn't have a problem with it. I mean, he would want her out. Contacted George and Cindy. George and Cindy at first were kind of leery. Who's this guy wanting to put up a $500,000 bond, and what's his motive behind it? There's a whole kind of a little thing we had to go through with that. We actually had to have a meeting with the family before they were on board, just a meet and greet type thing. We actually went to the vigil and met with them afterwards. But there was a lot of components going on. You have law enforcement kind of building a case at this point. They've towed the car. They're working through CSI things. They're working on statements. They've already got Casey in just numerous lie after lie after lie. The people that she's giving up, that not only Zanny, but the people that introduced her to Zanny, nothing's matching. And so they're already building a case. It's getting more media frenzy. And then, of course, here in California, Leonard's doing his part by getting his story out there locally, which then kind of got into, we got death threats even before the bail was posted. We had emails that we had to turn over to the FBI just for protection that were basically like, you show up in Florida, you're dead.
Wow.
Do not get that child killer out. And I do have to say that working with Leonard all these years, the one thing I admire about him is he always kept an open mind. He said that in every case, that's the way to effectively go in it. Because you can talk yourself into anything. It's like people say that, well, Casey was the only suspect and they didn't investigate anything. No, that's not true. Law enforcement investigates everything. Everybody's a suspect. until it all falls down to only one. You slowly find, well, this person couldn't have done it. This person couldn't have done it. And now you're left with the suspect. Well, Leonard goes into the same way. We have to go in with an open mind that maybe she is alive. Maybe Casey's got her with her friend. Maybe Casey wanted to escape the house, living in the house under her parents, and become a victim in the meantime when she realizes that nothing's really wrong. I mean, who knows? We don't know until we get deeper into this. And so that's how it kind of all started. And then we decide to go out there to make this happen. We go out. There happened to be a vigil that night when we arrived, so we went to the vigil. It was out in front of the Anthony home. There we met Lee. And then after it was over with, we met George and Cindy. And then they wanted to go have a secret meeting away from the public, so we did. We went to a church that he went to. There was a pastor that lived down the street that allowed us to use their office to go talk. George and Lee were very kind of had walls up of like, we don't know you. We're going to lay out some ground rules as well because we don't know who you are and why you're doing this.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Attention, everyone! Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture, bedding, cookware, holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping. And right now until October 31st, get 10% back when you join our new rewards program. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com. Terms apply.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Cindy was more appreciative. Leonard always wore this black cowboy hat. She said, I always had this dream that a hero would come in riding a horse in a white cowboy hat. You must be him. It's just your hat's black. She was just excited because there was no way they were going to be able to get the bond and get her out.
And then there were some practical considerations.
It was $500,000. So that means at 10%, somebody's got to pay $50,000 to make that happen. So I guess the next part, there was a couple days of working out the details of actually getting a $500,000 bond dropped at the jail. In that time, we had a meeting with Baez. Baez laid down his own rules, the no talking and trying to protect his client. And then once we were kind of all on a semi-same page, we decided to go forward. So in this scenario, Leonard's actually paying the $50,000, but the risk is $500,000. And so because of that, the bail agent can put their own criteria on it. Sometimes it's, you got to wear an ankle monitor that we monitor. Sometimes it's got to be guarded. Sometimes it's, you can't leave your house. There's terms and conditions that a bail agent can put into effect to protect that big liability.
So your stipulation was that you guys had to be there to guard her. And did she have to wear an ankle monitor as well?
Well, separately from that, court ordered an ankle monitor. So that was something the court was doing. Sometimes that happens. And on the bail agent side, we don't really care about that because it's different. On a court-ordered ankle monitoring, if they cut it off or whatever, it's just like, okay, they got a warrant. That's all. Just tells them. We're more worried about them getting away anywhere because our $500,000 is at stake. So, yes, she was on ankle monitor, but that was through court. So that's something separate. We're there, and our stipulation was is that we're going to be with you all the time. So you can't run away, you can't harm yourself, somebody else can't come kidnap you and hurt you, whatever. We just have to guard that basically $500,000 bond, which is what she is at that. So that allowed us to be in the house, transport her from there to Baez's office, then transport her to home confinement at one point, because that was a stipulation of the court, was to be on ankle monitor and not leave her house.
So the terms were agreed. The bond had been placed with the court, It was time for Casey to leave jail. Leonard is stood outside in front of a news van. He is wearing a black shirt and jacket, large eyeglasses, and his signature black cowboy hat. Leonard had this to say to a news channel at the time.
I believe she's still alive. I believe she can be found.
At this point, Casey Anthony was one of the most hated women in America, and the risk to her life was high. Here is a clip from some news footage as she walked from jail that day. Casey is wearing a short-sleeved blue t-shirt and sunglasses. She is clutching a cardboard box. Her lawyer, wearing a dark suit, has his right arm around her shoulder and is pulling her towards him, while holding a black umbrella above them both.
Get away!
After 5 weeks in jail, Casey returned home.
Rob told us about that day.
Orange County made it very well known that they were not going to treat her any different or any special favors. Wasn't going to be like a movie star going out the side door of the jail or the back door or anything. She was going to be released right out through the front, just like everybody. And they had put a little rope from the door out to the sidewalk. This little tiny rope, almost a cord. And that was supposed to keep the media and the people on that side of the cord. She was going to come out the door and come out to where we were parked right in front. A lot of people probably remember that chaos of when she was first released. And how that happened was we're all kind of standing there. And Baez says, man, this is taking forever. Let me just go see what they're doing in there. And he walks in just to see, do we have an idea when she's going to be released? And nobody knew. But when he walked out, she was with him. And that's when all that chaos happened, because we're all standing down by the car, not even close to him. The media is over here on the side, so everybody's rushing her. We're trying to get her to the car, keep the media away, keep the other people away. It was just a nightmare. It was just one of those Murphy's Law things. Everything that could go wrong did. And to say that's the first time I had actually personally been in her presence. We get her to the car, and it was Baez on one side of the back seat. She was in the middle. And there was another attorney. He wasn't very long on the case, but he was somebody that was with Baez. He was on the other side of her. And then I was driving and Leonard was in the passenger seat. And then I had a car behind us. It was kind of a chase car to get us home. And so that was the first time that we're all in the car. And it was kind of a weird, quiet ride from the jail to the house. Nobody said anything. Nobody talked. And I remember looking at her in the rearview mirror, because she's sitting right behind me in the center, and she's just sitting there looking forward like nobody's talking, nobody's saying anything. And even Leonard, who usually can't stop talking, wasn't saying much and kind of talking more to me than anybody else. It's just kind of like two different sides in the car. Been a media driven case early on, and there were, like I said, before we even got her out, there were death threats. There were threats every which way to the family. Probably remember all the signs, people standing out chanting baby killers, screaming at the house. And there was a concern that potentially somebody may, with a lynch mob kind of mentality, take matters into their own hands. And for safety of all of us involved, we had to be vigilant of that. Along with trying to just not really keep the media away, but just kind of try to get her home. I look at it as my job was just to get her from the jail safely home. Now we're contained in the home and things are better. So we had this whole little plan of, as I was coming up to the house, I called George. George opened the garage. The media's all lined out in the street. My chase car pulls in front, blocks all those guys from rushing. And then I go flying up into the driveway and straight into the garage. George's going to hit the garage door and it's going to go down. And that's actually the perfect plan. However, again, Murphy's Law, as I come flying into the garage, you know how garage floors are a little bit slick. I hit the brakes. I almost ended up in the house trying to get in there. But anyway, we got her in there. The door went down and now we're inside the Anthony home.
Thank you for listening to episode 4 of Casey Anthony, Truth or Lies, Crocodile Tears. In episode 5...
So it was 30 days she'd been away from the public until we got her out. So this is her first chance to be in her own home with her mom and dad, who have been looking for her child now for 61 days. And the way she came out of the car, all happy and smiles, and just, it's not a grieving mother. It's not a panic. It's, any parent would be panicking at that moment and running to the parents and, what's going on? Where are we at?
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overrule. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.